Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Another shooting at a school, this in Redline, Pennsylvania. A student takes a gun out of a bag in the cafeteria, kills the principal, kills himself. And it continues. 9/11 or no 9/11, it continues. What can be done? Is it just a lot of hot air? Is it just a continuation of the same hot air that we hear? Television, parenting, what can be done? We want to bring on, want to go to the source, a high school teacher, a man who teaches mathematics in high school, teaches history, and also is a football coach at Belmar Academy in South Pasadena, California, Mr. Vernon Dozier. And what do you think as an educator, if I could tell you, causes violence in children?
Phil, I think we're still looking at that. And I know I speak for many, many educators, and I say that this trend in students coming to school with guns and inflicting violence on each other and their teachers has got to end.
You don't have any idea where to begin with understanding this?
Well, I can tell you that. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what I tell parents, and I'll tell you what I will tell you as a parent. And as a teacher, I know that every child has it in him to commit murder. And I mean on a large scale. I mean that
every child to commit murder?
I mean every child that comes into our school, and I mean the better, even the better students, have the capability, and on certain days even the willingness, to commit a homicide or multiple homicides, and then turn the gun on themselves. And once, as a teacher, you understand that, you not only have a fighting chance, you also have a certain peace, and there's a certain serenity about coming to school every day.
You go into school, into the school day, believing that there could be violence?
Well, I go into every school day, the way I imagine our soldiers went into Baghdad in a lot of ways, Phil. I want to do something good for the kids, but I also know that any one of them, can make it my last day on earth. And so that's how I've gotten through 30 years as a teacher. But you need to understand, and I want to make this very clear to all the parents that listen and to all the kids. You may be a good kid, you may be a bad kid, you may be a great parent, you may not be a great parent. It doesn't matter to me as a teacher, and I know the teachers I speak with are the same way. Any one of your kids can walk into the school that day and commit the kind of crimes that one only reads about in books.
Well, you're talking about some gruesome murder.
Well, what do you think Columbine was? What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's true, but wasn't there an indication that those kids were violence prone?
Look, they're these kids, you don't know any one of the kids. I look at all of my students, and I see them this way. I say, well, I can teach them a lot, but they could also be the end of my life. I have to be prepared that if they make a move on me, that they will regret it until the day they die.
What causes a kid to be violent? How can we keep this from happening?
Well, Phil, I believe that too much has been put into the causes and not enough into the actual day-to-day prevention. I think we can prevent this from happening by simply a meeting between parents.
And saying what? You're going to meet the parents and you're going to meet the students and you're going to get what? You're not going to get an appraisal of the student. You're going to find out that he's violent? Or do you just assume it?
That's what I'm saying. I can meet with the parents and have a three-way meeting between the parent, myself, and the student at the beginning of the year. You sit down with these people, and you lay it out. And this is what teachers have got to do. You lay it out, and you say, if I even think your kid is going to make a move on me, I will, and I got a piece of glass pane, which is next to my desk in my office. I say, I will break out a pane of glass from a window, use a shard of that glass, and if you can see a sharp shard of glass, Phil, you know it can cut like a knife, and I will hold it against his or her throat, and I'll give them a choice. They can go back to their seat and not disturb the class again, or we can rock and roll, and I guarantee I will be the winner in that exchange.
But see, okay. It's like I'm watching a movie here.
No, but this is what we got. I can look at the 1,500 students in our student body, and I see 1,500 potential. I'm not saying they all will. 1,500 potential cold-blooded murderers.
Isn't that threatening the parents and the students before they even start the school year?
I'm sorry, Phil, I didn't hear that.
Isn't that threatening?
Well, look, if you think I'm going to end up on a morgue slab because your kid has issues with being bullied, or their parents are divorced, or whatever, you know, whatever phony baloney excuse. You got a news flash coming, because I will not think twice about messing up any kid that makes a move on me. In my classroom, out in the student quad or student general areas, or in the parking lot on my way to the car, I will mess him up.
Well, I got to tell you, you sound like a man who is in a battle zone.
That's exactly what's up, okay? Nobody's going to pull a gun on me. No student is going to pull a gun on me, I guarantee you that.
All right, I want to find out whether that kind of a threat will inspire violence.
Well,
hold on, let me just do our phone number here. 1-800-449-8686. School violence, guns in school. We're speaking to high school teacher Vernon Dozier, who believes it's very simple. You tell the students and the parents at the beginning of the year that if their kid makes a move or gets out of hand, what are you saying you'll kill them?
I will defend myself, okay? I'll mess that kid up before he's able to do anything.
And you advise every teacher to be that way?
Every teacher, absolutely. All of this understand your kid stuff. Let me tell you something. I got a message for every parent that thinks he's going to send a kid into my school who's going to be violent. I will take your kid out, and I mean that literally. And every morning I wake up and I prepare myself almost for a battlefield. And it sounds crazy. When I got into teaching, Phil, I wanted to help people, and I still do. But I quickly realized that to be a teacher, I had to crawl out of a sleeping bag every morning, just the way our guys do over there in Iraq, and get ready to rock and roll. And I mean put the hurt on someone if I have to. That's how I've survived 30 years of teaching. I don't know about anybody else.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, and you did put it into perspective perfectly. Teaching school these days is like going into a battlefield.
It is. It's just like that. It can be living, pure, screaming, cold hell. But if you survive at the end of the day, you can drag yourself into your house, throw yourself down on the couch, pop a cold beer, and pray to Jesus that you make it through to the next morning.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier, high school teacher who believes that the only way to end these continuous, and we had a shooting in Red Lion, Pennsylvania, just yesterday. A young man comes to school, gun, kills a teacher, kills himself. How many times have we heard these stories? Countless times. At least one high school teacher that we're talking to right here says the only way to deal with that is to sit down with the parents and students at the beginning of the school year, and basically you're saying, threaten them. You'll mess the kid up if he makes a move on you.
That's exactly right. I let the student know. We had a girl who transferred over here from Hatterbrass All-Girls Academy. And I sat down with her, and I said, let me tell you something right now. You're new to this school. You make a move on me, and I will make it your worst day.
Now, I'm familiar with this girl. Her name was Connie Selleck. Isn't that right?
That is correct. The Selleck family, yeah.
Doesn't this girl have a muscular dystrophy?
I don't know, sir.
Doesn't she walk on crutches?
No, sir, she does not. She walks with a pronounced limp.
But, I mean, what the point I'm trying to make here is you're talking to a girl who walks with a limp, and you're threatening her?
Look. Hold on, because, see, you're saying exactly what her parents said.
But what I'm saying is you're threatening physical violence against a girl who's 14 years of age and has and walks with a pronounced limp. And
wait, well, hold on. That kid, what are you telling me, that just because she's got this, whatever you want to call it, because she's a cripple, she can't bring a gun to school? Let me tell you what.
Wait a minute. I mean, I would just, all I'm saying, sir, is...
Hold on, Mr. Henry. Before we go any further, I'm the teacher, and I can tell you for 30 years, and I don't care what the kid has. If she curls her lip at me, she's asking for some trouble from the big guy, and that's the only way we get through.
But she's a girl with a pronounced physical disability. Does she need to be threatened with physical violence like the other kids?
I believe she does.
Why, sir?
Because even a retard, or not a retard, but I mean, you know, a kid that, you know, is not all there, even they can get a gun.
And but she's not, she doesn't have a mental retardation.
Or what I meant to say was crippled, with a handicap. She can get a gun, and she can come to school, and maybe she's taken too much abuse because she does have a limp. And maybe she looks at me and says, you look like the perfect guy. And what did I do to her? I didn't do anything to her.
Well, at the beginning of the school year, you threatened her. See, this is what I'm trying to say.
Hold on. You're going to say I'm the cause of the violence.
I'm saying if you threaten these kids, maybe you're sending them over the line.
Mr. Henry, let me explain something. We have had special learning classes, special ed classes. We've had counseling. We've had free dress days. We've had, let me tell me your problem days. We've had, retreats where the students go with the teacher. We've had every kind of touchy-feely thing going on. So don't tell me that we haven't tried your way and a lot of these other people out there who are in the liberal camp, I'd like to add. Let me tell you what. Now we're going to try it, I think, is the time anyway to try it my way, which is you get out of hand with me, and friend, you will be walking with a limp in two legs, not just one. So
now we're reduced to threatening our kids.
Our kids? Let me tell you what, the dirtbag that did call him, no, that ain't my kid.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Vernon Dozier, high school teacher. Natalie, go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hi, how are
hi.
You?
Yes, ma'am.
I can't believe that this gentleman is saying that any child is capable of homicide on any given day. That's just preposterous.
Well, you've got to look at
teaching.
Have you read the newspaper lately, ma'am? I don't know.
Absolutely.
Okay, we got a kid
all
here, 14 years old, walked into school. Everybody thought he was just a regular kid. Blows the principal away. Unless you see that every one of these kids are capable of committing cold-blooded murder.
That's a very fatalistic point of view, to be honest with you. It's kind of scary to
meet
your teacher.
Do you know who Eugene Cyril is, ma'am?
Nope, sure don't.
No, you sure don't, do you? But you do read the paper. He's the man that was killed. He's the principal that was killed. And maybe if he'd walked into the school that day with that thinking, he'd have his life still today. And
well, wait a minute. I don't want you to be speaking for a man who's passed on.
I'm just saying, that is the point of view that I'm taking. That if some of these teachers got killed, should have walked to school that day, ready to kick ass.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Is that the way to deal with it now? No more touchy-feely. Get ready to kick ass on the kids. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So I'm talking with Mr. Dozier. You said something during the break. Vernon Dozier is a high school teacher and a high school history and math teacher.
That is correct, Phil. I teach calculus, advanced calculus, and also a varsity football coach.
All right. The question is, you said to me during the break, the only way to keep violent kids from, harming us, harming our kids at school, is by confronting them and the parents.
That is absolutely correct, yes, sir.
How do you confront the parents?
Well, the parents are the linchpin. If you got a kid, just like this kid who shot that teacher in Pennsylvania, somebody should have gone to that kid's parents at the beginning of the year and said, by the way, this is nothing personal, but if your kid does anything violent, we're coming after you.
And well, what does that mean?
Well, I'll tell you what it means for me, that if somebody's kid, and I tell all the parents this, if your kid actually commits a crime, I will come after you personally. And I mean, I will come after you with both my fists up. I will.
So you're saying that you will physically assault these people if their kid acts out in school?
That is right. But the reason that I never have to do that is the threat is enough. They'll keep the kid in line. The key, though, is going after the parents. You can beat the kid up, which is what I would do if a kid made a move on me. But the parent himself, that's the guy. And you tell him, you make it very clear, I'll come after you. And, brother, when I'm done with you, they may not be able to recognize you. Now, before these parents leave my parent-teacher conference, what I do, and I always make a habit of this, I grab the woman by the arm. And the husband doesn't like that, but I will grab the woman by the top of her arm, and I'll pull her back, and I say, and I will warn her one more time. I said, you heard what I said, right?
You're in a private school, right?
That is correct. That's why we can do what we do.
Because public school, you're not going to be able to get away with this.
Well, that's why public schools don't have the guts. Public schools don't have the guts for what we do. They don't have the guts. Public schools are pathetic, and the reason why they're pathetic is they don't have the guts to do what we do.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a phone call here. This lady is a teacher. Katie?
Yes.
Katie, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes.
It's Katie. You're a teacher? Yes, ma'am.
I happen to be a public school teacher and a coach. And
what do you coach, ma'am?
I coach track and I coach cheerleading.
Cheerleading.
So, yeah, it is a sport too, but I'm not going to get into that right now.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that I am very surprised that you are an educator just listening to you speak. I would think that you're a lunatic, and I understand maybe you've been teaching for a long time and that's why you're in a private school setting, but I am in a very large public school, and actually we're the second largest in the nation.
Well, there you go.
So I handle things a different way. I teach convicted felons every day in my class. I don't have a problem with them. I let them know from the get-go what I expect, and I think as long as you can notice changes in behavior in your students, and yes, you're right, maintain an open line of communication with parents, then both school violence can be avoided.
Wait. All right, but you called me a lunatic.
Know.
You called me a lunatic, yet you're agreeing with some of the things I say.
Right, because I think you're going to the extreme that you don't need to go to.
Katie, this is Phil Henry. I want to ask you, what school district you teach in? You say it's the second largest in the country?
I'm not sure if I can let that go, but it is in Florida.
Okay,
I can
that's
tell
fine.
You that.
That's fine.
I'd like to say to the lady that, with all due respect, the public schools, as I said, can't handle this kind of discipline because they'd get teachers' unions up in there and they'd get the parents and the school board and all this nonsense. We take care of business. And I tell the parents with no uncertain terms, your kid pulls a gun on me and I will bury it right back up his rear end. And then I'm coming looking for you.
Right, but you cannot threaten people in that sense and think that it's going to accomplish any goal, because by doing that, you just make them where they don't even want to work with you.
Right.
Even if their children have an anger problem, yeah, you can address that as a teacher because you probably might see that more often than the parent. Because
yeah.
A lot of my students I know have no parents at home.
I'll bury that gun right back up that kid's rear end.
Well, let me ask you a question, Mr. Dozier. What do the parents think of you after you say these things to them?
I'll tell you what, they're scared to death of me. And they know that I mean business. So they go back home and they say, do you hear that, teacher? You better not act up.
Right, but you can let the students know that. And you can let your parents know that in a different manner. Because I don't want my parents scared of me. I want them to be able to communicate with me. Because
most parents aren't too bright.
To teach and help their students.
Well, a lot of these parents aren't too bright. And they think they know everything and they don't. I've had to deal with them in parent-teacher meetings, as you have. And you know they're just about as stupid. You know, they're about as stupid as the day is long. And I tell them that. I don't have the time.
But all parents want what's best for their children. Well, let me say, most parents want what's best for their children.
Yeah, some of them.
And I just feel like, you know, being that harsh with someone, to me, if you had told me that and I was your student, I would not have any respect for you. And that's part of how you handle the kids.
I want them to have fear.
Their respect.
I want them to have fear.
All right, listen, Katie, thanks for your call. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier, a high school teacher. You want your kids to have fear?
Look, because of me, I have probably stopped over 100 shootings in my school just because I know how to warn them.
Did you know the kids had guns?
I have no idea if they had guns.
Well, then how do you know you stopped 100 shootings?
Well, there was nobody shot in the school. All right, so I think it's reasonable to assume I've stopped a few shootings. Look, no parent has got the guts to come up to me and tell me what to do. I tell them that they're next. If their kid causes violence in our school, if children are attacked because of their kid, if teachers are attacked because of their kid, if I find their kid carrying a gun in our school, I'm going to deal with their kid, and then I'm coming after them.
And so you are threatening the parents with the same physical violence you're trying to avoid in the child.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because that's the only way some of these I didn't mean to say that, but some of these people, because I got some parents in our school. Oh my God! You know, they wouldn't tell you what color the sky is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier, high school teacher. He believes in kicking ass and taking names, especially the parents, when it comes to school violence. Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Another teacher, another student killed in violence in a school in Pennsylvania. On the line, Vernon Dozier. He is a private school mathematics teacher and a high school football coach. And you are telling us and, you know, the world that the violence, threatening the kids with violence and threatening the parents with violence, if they think about acting violently, is the only way to go.
Because they've had all this, let's try to understand the problem. No, your kid messes up, I'm coming after you, Mr. and Mrs. America. And I'll tell you...
The Brule case, now, you know the Brule case. It happened last spring.
I do know the case, and I'd like to explain.
Wait a minute. The school was sued over this.
I'd like to explain. She had a hypodermic needle. She was putting it back into her backpack. On school grounds, I grabbed that backpack. I went downstairs. I threw it into the incinerator in our school. And I mean within seconds, she didn't have her hypodermic needle. She didn't have what they call it, if you know anything about the drug situation. They call it the works. That's what they call it, their works. Her works, I incinerated them. I got into my car, and I had another class to teach. And I told Principal McMahon that I was going to be gone, and he can either teach the class himself or he can take all the books and park them. I don't care. I got into my car. I drove over to this kid's house. I found her old man getting out of the car on his way home from work. I grabbed him by the seat of his pants and by his collar. I pushed him in through his front door. I asked the woman in there, is this your husband? And she looks like she's about ready to, pardon my language, crap a green brick. And she said, yeah. I said, well, you tell it. And I said it, not him. I said, you tell it the next time its daughter comes to my school with hypodermic needles, I will run him right through that nice plate glass window that you got back there leading out to your pool. Now, what you're about to tell me...
No, what I'm about to tell you is that girl was a diabetic and that was insulin. That's what the hypodermic needle was for.
That's what I was... Yes, I know that. But I didn't know it at the time. I was making a point.
Well, sir, you thought she was a drug addict. You burned up the girl's insulin, hypodermic needle, physically... Oh, man.
You know, I love the way you people in the media love to twist things.
I'm not twisting anything, sir. You physically assaulted her father, burned up her insulin. She had to go to the principal and had to be excused to get back home and get more. That was not a needle used for heroin.
I know that. But at the time, I still made the point. It got around. It got around to anybody that wants to start using on my watch. Oh, man, you better run. Don't walk. Run.
1-800-449-8686. The school was sued, and it's still being litigated, isn't it?
I couldn't give a sweet Christ.
Let's go over to Sandy. Sandy, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
This guy sure sounds like he thinks he's God or something, because this is pathetic.
Ma'am, I'm a teacher trying to give our kids a fighting chance.
You know what? I'm a mom of five kids, and every one of my kids is very well-behaved and wonderful kids. But you know what?
You got nothing to worry about. You got nothing to worry about.
You know what? I don't have anything to worry about, even if they weren't well-behaved. They have their own minds, their own opinions. And if they do something wrong, it is something that they will choose to do.
They're not going to do it in my school. I deal with it.
Then I'm still teaching. I can't believe you're still teaching.
Why? Because I demand discipline. I demand discipline for my kids. And
you know what? This is not discipline. Practically beating up a child because she's diabetic is not discipline.
Beating her up.
You know
I took
what?
Her
if
back.
You don't know the situation. You don't know the situation. How dare you jump to a conclusion?
You could have killed that girl. She could have gone into insulin shock.
Oh, don't give me that. She went home and got more insulin. And I didn't beat her up. I took her backpack and threw it in the incinerator.
Well, you incinerated personal belongings. And
Wait, hold on. What is this? We just had a principal get gunned down in a school, and here we go again with you parents saying, oh, well, understand the kid. I'm proud of what I did that day.
You know, it goes even beyond understanding the kids. You know, in this day and age, you're not even allowed to spank your kids because kids can turn you in. But there are certain things, you know,
if you want to be scared of your own kid, that's your thing. Look, ma'am,
you know what? I've never been afraid of my own kids.
Well, what are you afraid of spanking them for?
But the point is, There are so many different things. In this country, we believe guilty until, I mean, innocent until proven guilty. And you're saying all kids are guilty.
Oh, you want me to wait until he pulls a gun, pops some of us, pops me in the chest, and as
well,
I'm falling backward.
You sound like the kind of person that will get that because you portray that.
No, that's
what you're putting out there.
That's the whole
it's
thing.
It's like the other teacher that was just talking, who was a, you know, takes care of the track team and the cheerleading.
Yeah, she thinks cheerleading is a sport.
It is.
It is.
I'd like to see you do some of those
excuse me, ma'am.
And turns.
Cheerleading is not a sport. It is a preparation for a career in Las Vegas.
You
and I've always said,
oh, man,
you are
come
such
on.
A
no, that's exactly
you are
what it is.
Such a bigot.
I'm a bigot because I know cheerleading for what it is, preparation for walking down a runway, or should I say dancing
you
down
know,
a runway.
You know, I'd like to see you be able to do 10 minutes worth of anything any cheerleader can do.
Ma'am,
any
I do
kind
not,
of those backs,
ma'am,
but.
I do not want to prepare myself for a life of taking my clothes off.
Well,
would,
it doesn't
oh,
have
come
to
on.
Be
you,
preparing
you know,
yourself for that. You're still an athlete.
You're a
still
high school
an athlete.
Ma'am, they're every bit as much an athlete as a $500 a night hooker is. And you
but look, there are kids that are involved.
You
and
are
that's
such
have,
a bigot.
Have some respect for my daughter's a cheerleader.
I'm not saying anything, Mr. Henry, other than
because you know what? You say anything against my daughter, maybe I'll come after you.
Bring it. Bring it.
You know.
Oh, what are we? What are we on the playground
you,
now?
You want respect. But you're doing it through violence. You're not getting respect. You say you want everybody to fear you.
They
you
do.
Know what? I don't fear you. I pity you.
You don't fear me?
And I certainly
the day
don't respect
your kid
you.
Messes up in my class and I come after
you. Know
you.
What? My kid would not be in your class.
And if you see my
and
car
you know
coming
what?
Down your street.
It wouldn't be my kid that with the gun. It would be me. My
hey.
Gosh, you're an ass.
Lady, you come down. You see my car coming down your street. You better pack up and go out over the back fence.
You don't you got... fear me.
Lady.
I've lived through worse than you. You don't. I have no fear for you whatsoever.
I am not going to be waiting for some your and kid to come to school and put a slug in my chest.
How dare you try to scare innocent children? Why don't you try to earn their respect instead of their fear?
I tried that. You know what it
are
got
you
us?
That little of a human being that you have to have fear instead of respect?
And let me tell you who the worst ones are. The kids that come in from that special ed stuff because everybody feels sorry for them. Oh, you know.
Well, that's what you did with that girl that had muscular dystrophy. You put your finger in her face.
I said to that kid, and I said to any of you think just because you're cripples that you're going to come to this class, this school with guns, and I'll throw you through a window as quick as any kid who's got the use of both legs.
Oh, no. You are just pathetic.
I'm pathetic.
You are just pathetic.
I'm pathetic. Ask the family this principal is dead. Ask the families of the teachers. And when a kid has a glass shard to his jugular, let me tell you what, I got respect.
You know
I got
what?
A lot of respect.
You're putting everybody in one group. You know what? Not everybody's a criminal. And guess what? Not every kid who's ever been spanked ends up in prison. You know, people have their own mind.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something else, too. If I ever see some kid try to pull off that Columbine stuff, ooh, oh, man, I can't wait.
You know, you don't even sound like a teacher. You sound like a guy in a bad Western.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Really bad.
That's fine, ma'am. That's fine. Just keep your five kids out of my school, and you and I will get along just great.
All right.
Well, don't worry. My five kids will never be at your
school. Well, I know. Since you got five kids, they're probably all in public school, right? Yep.
Actually, two are in private school.
I knew it.
Two of them are in a private school, thank you.
Two of them are in a private school?
Yes.
Now, which husband are they from?
Okay, now see, that's the kind of insight. Are you trying to get people pissed?
I have one husband. All my children are from the same man.
Isn't that unusual for Utah?
All right. I am.
You're pathetic.
Thank you very much, Sandy.
What are you laughing at?
What am I laughing at? I'm laughing at the absolute chutzpah of you to say half of the crap that you're saying. Kathy.
Mr. Henry, it's not chutzpah. It's caring about our kids.
Kathy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, I've probably heard worse, but I'm not sure exactly when. You know, there's an old saying about you're either part of the solution or part of the problem.
Right. I'm part of the solution.
I think we know which side of the fence this gentleman is on.
Part of the solution.
You definitely are not part of the solution, and I'll tell you why.
Look,
my life came up, my growing up years were in the 50s. So I grew up with a lot of movies and a lot of serials that were on every day in the afternoons when I came home from school.
This is going to take a while, man, because...
Would you have some respect for the lady who called in?
That taught us that you don't you don't end a problem with violence. You try to talk things out. It seems like you've kind of forgotten about that. You've forgotten about empathy.
Ma'am, some kid walks up to me with a gun and sticks it in my chest.
Then you do what you have to do.
All the conversation in the
absolutely.
World.
Absolutely.
Now,
I agree with you on that. If someone comes up into your face with a loaded weapon...
Would you excuse me for just a minute?
What a pig.
You know, you couldn't have staged this
what
any better.
What a pig.
I've been called every name on your program, Mr. Henry.
Yes, you have, sir.
Some kid comes up to me
mm-hmm.
with a gun,
mm-hmm.
and I'll make it his worst day.
And you would be within your rights to defend yourself, and that's
I get
not
into
the problem.
Car, and then I get into the car, and I drive to the parents' house. That's right. Keep laughing. Because when the day comes I come to your house, of course, your kids have all moved out.
You see how seriously I'm taking this?
You know what,
lady? You're a joke. You are an absolute joke,
do
my
you
friend.
Have
you are a joke.
Do you have
and the way you're reacting
look
to me is exactly what the problem is, because I've challenged you, and I'm laughing
you said
at you,
you
and
went
you're
to
getting
school.
Offended.
You said you went to school in the 30s. You don't know anything
no,
about what's
no.
going on.
No, I went
now.
To school in the 50s.
No, you said the 30s.
No,
all
the
right, 50s. Let's remember who we're talking to here.
Yeah, right.
I'm a teacher. You said you went to school in the 30s.
No, that's how, that shows you
no.
that you don't listen at all.
Mr.
That's
Henry, didn't she say that?
Point,
I don't recall.
It?
No, you said
yeah,
you went to
school.
You grew
you
up in
listen.
The 30s with serial movies. Those are the kind of movies they were showing in the 30s.
No, I said I grew up in the 50s, and I came home from school, and I watched things.
80 years old, and that
on TV like
Zorro
and Wyatt and Hopalong Cassidy and
did
Roy
you?
Rogers and Gene Autry. And these people taught
who?
Our kids that the way that you handle
you
your problems
about?
With someone is that you try to talk it out. They hardly ever pulled the gun, and if they
but
did, they never even got close.
Somebody
but today's movies,
someone
all
grew
they
up
do, I'm going to speak my mind
somebody
whether you like it or not.
Oh, you're all pissed off, aren't you?
No.
Yeah, I got
you
pissed.
You know what? You're
yeah.
a very rude
oh,
person.
Oh, come on. What, you grow up, sir.
No, I got
you're,
her all
you're being quite rude, sir.
I got her all pissed
you've had plenty
yeah.
of airtime. I've been
have.
Listening to you all the way from Salt Lake.
Absolutely.
Well,
so
I can tell you,
up a
you were around during Prohibition,
talk.
So you know what violence is. When those booze runners were being killed when you were a kid.
She said it wasn't the 30s. It was the 50s.
Oh,
that proves the point that he doesn't listen, obviously.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. So the problem is that
did you meet Elliot Ness or did you just read about it?
We taught our kids not to be violent, to try to work things out by talking, by using dialect to increase their brain power in learning how to strategize, to compromise,
all right,
to be able
true,
to get along together.
The, how
but
come
you,
they had
my
the
friend,
riot?
Have totally lost sight
all right.
of that. As a parent, as a teacher,
yeah.
you have totally lost it.
Are you black?
Who, me?
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell you didn't grow up black, otherwise you wouldn't think the 50s were so great.
The
all right,
I didn't say the 50s were
yeah,
great, but I'm saying it's
yeah,
better
got
than
her again.
The Rambo style
got her again.
That we see
all
today.
Right, sir, I'm going to hang up on you.
Can't take it, can you? You and this broad can't take it. Well,
and don't call her abroad. I'm hanging up on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what happened to you, Henry? You lost your balls. You lost your balls, and along with it, you lost your manhood. I'm the only one standing up anymore. I'm not going to stand anymore.
I think you're out of your mind. You shouldn't be teaching kids. You should be in a nut house.
Yeah, that's what they said. They all said that about me. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Some kid twitches a finger. Oh, yeah. Moves a muscle. Yeah. I'm going to waste it, my wristband. You can bet your bottom dollar. Excuse me for a minute. Okay, I took care of it. I just had to leave the room to fart.
Yeah, get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. What is this guy? What is this, the outlaw Josie Wales? God! Oh, yeah. She grew up in the 30s. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Survivor Compton. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm not going to talk to you anymore, Mr. Dozier, okay?
you don't want to talk to me anymore, okay, because you don't...
I think you're out of your mind. You're not a teacher. You're a madman. You're a maniac, and you don't belong on the air.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
You know what you look like to me with your cheap bag and your good shoes? You look like a rube. Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you're still not too much removed from poor white trash. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars, and you dreamt of getting away, didn't you, Phil Hendry? Getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
What? Jesus. Dozier's nuts. Do that again, Vernon. I like that.
You know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed hustling rube. Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you're not too far much removed from poor white trash and all those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars while you dreamt of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
Can I get the check?
Get out of here. I had to dump myself again. How many times this week, Mark? I said the F word. I didn't really say it. It just sort of went F, and then I... All right, 1-800-449-8686. Animal rights. Oh, by the way, just before we get into anything else, I want to remind you that that was me doing the voice of Vernon Dozier, and the people that called in were real people. Some of them pretty pissed off this hour, huh? And then we get the people who call after the bit's over with, and I tell them that it was me doing the voice, and then they're really mad because they, you know, they feel like I made a monkey out of them. Speaking of monkeys, there's a lady here who's an animal rights activist. The leader of a prominent U.S.-based animal rights group, Ingrid Newkirk, said she's drawn up a will directing that her flesh be barbecued and her skin used to make leather products in protest at man's ill-treatment of animals. She has further said that she'd like to have her feet used as an umbrella stand. And she has said she is actively interested in mating with an ape. She saw an ad in the newspaper. Woman wanted to mate with ape. $3,000. She called them up. She said she was interested. They said, great, but she said it'll take me a while to get the $3,000.
You know what you look like to me, will you?
God, get out of here! No, seriously. In the document, she also suggests her liver be vacuum-packed and sent to France to be used in a campaign to persuade shoppers not to buy foie gras made from the livers of force-fed ducks and geese. Sounds good to me. I wonder if I could host that barbecue, you think? 1-800-449-8686 and our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Please pick up our CD. All of the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Our CD available on our souvenir at our souvenir shop on our website, philhendryshow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
Scott Peterson is getting mail from women. He's getting fan mail. He's getting women who want to visit him. You know, we're seeing this cycle repeat itself. Serial murderers, sociopaths, psychopaths, they all have their groupies, don't they? Every walk of life, I guess, does. But these guys in particular. On the line with me is Larry Grover. Larry is former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, active in the Republican Party. And you... Saw this news story that I was talking about, Larry, and this just goes further in what you've been saying about jury selection, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Phil. I don't think that you think the problem with this Peterson guy, you'll never be able to get a woman on the jury, in my opinion, because the guy is attractive to women. He is handsome. You're going to find women falling all over themselves, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them. And he's already getting mail, as you mentioned, and this is what happens with all of these guys, Phil. You said it very well. all these killers that get the picture in the paper, and the women start sending in letters, and they also send in other things. They send in private things. They won't be able to get one woman on that jury, I don't think.
Well, surely there are women who are objective enough to be jurors.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to take the chance, is all I'm saying. I wouldn't want to take the chance that women get on that jury, and I'm talking about straight women, obviously, get on that jury, and he starts working his charm, and he starts with whatever it is that they do, these psychos, and they want to acquit.
Why are women like that? In other words, you're saying that they, because they're so, these women are such groupies for Scott Peterson, that women won't be able to objectively judge him.
Oh, I think it's because that while men are intellectual, and I think in this case men would make the better jurors, women, Phil, live below the waist. I mean, just in the time that I've been separated from Marcy, and I've had occasion to date, and because I think it's different now for men than when you were a bachelor, Phil, I can tell you, women are far more likely to be aggressive sexually. And you look at this guy, Peterson, he has everything that a woman wants, I guess. He's good-looking, he owns his own home, he's great with kids, he fishes, he skis, all of the guy is what a lot of these women call, what they call these days, a dreamboat. And men like this get women under their spell, and look at the life he has. Man, I'd sure like something like that. I mean, he's got this, he's got that blonde, and then he had the other wife, and she's dead, but she was pretty good looking. So this is what I mean.
Well, let's remember we are talking about a lady that's passed on.
Absolutely, she was murdered. And but I'm saying, you know, he had two in the span of a month. He had two pretty good looking women because he's handsome, because he's charming.
Well, I know what you're saying is true about there being groupies for criminals. But do you think it affects women in general, is what I'm asking?
I really think it can. In the time I've been a bachelor, it has become apparent that so many of these gals, everything's below, you know, it's below the waist and it's difficult to find a young woman who enjoys conversation and what I like to call a polite for a kind of sex. I mean, the only answer to this Scott Peterson jury thing, and by the way, I hope they go for the death penalty. I've been following that closely on the CNN. I think the only answer is either no women on the jury, which would be the most optimum scenario, or if this causes problems, you can get in touch with the Los Angeles chapter of GLAAD, which is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance and Against Defamation. Start interviewing jurors whose orientation is gay, but they are females, the gay woman. Because these gals, when they see a man, as you know about the gay women, when they see a man, they don't get stirred up sexually, and they think more like men. And I think you would be able at that instance to get around the civil rights question of not having women on the jury, and at the same time you would have females who are not stirred up in the sexual manner, and you could also have men on the jury.
All right, we're talking with Larry Grover about what kind of a jury can Scott Peterson get when women are attracted to him? Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You're talking about constitutional issues, and I think you're right. This is a tall order to fill, isn't it?
Well, you know, there may be constitutional, but excuse me, Mr. Henry, jurors are excused for prejudice all the time. It's either that or you got this Peterson character out on the streets again. And this time it might not be his wife, it might be your wife, or some gal he picks up at a bar someplace. And then we'll all be saying, why in the name of the living Christ did we let heterosexual women on that jury?
So no women on the Scott Peterson jury is the only way to go, because women are already throwing themselves at him.
Yes, sir.
All right. We have talked on this program and others about these groupies for criminals. Scott Peterson has women writing him letters. Scott Peter,
but you don't understand. He's a very attractive man. There isn't a woman out there that'll tell you he's not attractive. That's number one.
All right. Well, maybe every woman thinks he's handsome, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be in favor of him or be prejudiced by him.
But you can't take the chance. More and more than ever before, women want to be aggressive, and I've seen this in my own life sexually. And in doing that, they you know, might give a guy a benefit. I don't know, but they may give him the benefit of the doubt.
So women cannot be objective because they're sexually attracted to Scott Peterson.
I don't know the answer, but I'd hate like hell, Phil, to put straight women on that jury and have them quit. You know what happened in the O.J. trial? They put 12 reasonably intelligent people in a jury, and they thought it was a slam dunk because the evidence pointed to it. And what do you think they did? They let O.J. Simpson walk because they were all of the African people. Now you get Scott Peterson. You get some women on that jury. And it only takes one to hang that jury, as you know. And now, what do you got? You got some gal who thinks he's hot, and she's getting all hot for him, and everything like that. And the next thing you know, she can't separate her intellect from her passion. I'd hate like heck to see Scott Peterson walk because we got some gal on that jury who got all hot for him.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Do we keep women off the Scott Peterson jury so that they don't get attracted to him and possibly acquit the guy? We don't even know that he's guilty yet.
Oh, well, all right, okay, Phil, whatever you say.
Well, I'm trying to...
Yeah, you're paying lip service to innocent until proven guilty. Phil, I've been a bachelor for 4 years since Marcy left, and I've dated on and off during that time, and I can tell you, because you're married, you don't know what's going on these days. They seem more interested in the vulgarity of sex today than ever before, and I personally believe that a woman's body is a sacred trust, and that men has and should be respectful of any sex that he has with her. But these women, they don't want that. They want to jump in. They want to get have it all over you and everything. And this is what you're going to get.
Sexually aggressive women acquitting Scott Peterson.
Sexually aggressive women acquitting Scott Peterson. Because you don't have the women like you used to, where, a gentle kiss on the forehead and appropriate sex. You would make love to a woman and apologize afterwards in case something hurt or you made inappropriate sounds. Nowadays, they throw themselves onto a filthy mattress with anything that walks that's male. And this is what you're going to get on the Scott Peterson jury. And the next thing you know, he'll be out slitting more throats and more throats and more throats. And then the next throat he slits may be your wife. I'm tempted to put forward that women shouldn't be on any jury because of the way they think, but especially this Peterson case.
Well, you can't be serious.
Well, I'm worried about their emotionalism.
And you've mentioned twice now when Marcy left.
My wife left me for it. You know the story.
I know, but I'm wondering if your attitude may be colored by that. 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover. He is a former chairman of the Conservatives of Kern County, active in the Republican Party. He believes that the Scott Peterson trial could get bungled up a little bit if they put too many straight women on a jury, that women are attracted to this guy. He's already getting mail in his jail cell. He's already got females who want to visit him. Is it possible that women could get onto this jury and get, as Larry said, quote, hot for him? And let him walk. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And we're with Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County. Scott Peterson getting love letters in the jail. We're going to get to some phone calls. This is normal, though, with every serial murderer. They get groupies. You're thinking this guy's charm extends beyond the average nutty jail groupie?
I really think it does, Phil. I mean, look at this guy. You had people believing that he was the clean, scrubbed Boy Scout leader. Members of Ms. Peterson's family considered him to be a stand-up guy. This guy was yanking their chain from day one, and I'm sure laughing all the way to the bank. And I wouldn't doubt it right now, Mr. Peterson isn't having himself a big giggle sitting in jail thinking of all the people that he hornswoggled. And I'm simply saying, let's play it on the safe side. I'm not saying that women will do this, but if we can play it on the safe side, keep women off the jury. If one of them gets hot and bothered by this guy, and she starts thinking below the waist, like a lot of these gals can do, the next thing you know, he's walking the streets, slitting the throats of one of these gals.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over and get another phone call in here. Jan, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover. And I'm Phil Henry.
Hi. It's hard for me to believe that a man in today's society could have this stupid opinion. First of all, he's acting as if simply because a woman is a woman that she cannot put her passion or sexual desires aside simply because a man is attractive, which, you know...
You got gals that are sending love letters to this guy, and he just got done carving up two people.
Well, you know, in any society, there are going to be those that tend to lean towards the weird or the, you know, not quite sane.
Exactly.
If you were to take that man's viewpoint, then if you had an attractive female defendant who had likewise murdered someone, then how could a man on a jury judge fairly if he was looking at this attractive female
and be able to
control his sexual desire?
Well, men are far more intellectual. Men can separate their sex. Women, on the other hand, it's all balled up together.
The opposite is
true. 4 years that I've been a bachelor since my wife left me, I've dated on and off. And I, when you offer a woman the gentleness of a kiss on the forehead and a very quick sexual liaison, she looks at you like you're a freak.
Well, sir, I have to say that probably your attitude speaks far more about you than it does any female in today's society, because it's like you're negating a woman's brain. First of all, if that man's on trial for killing, which he allegedly killed his wife and his baby, I don't care if he was the most perfect human being that God ever made. There's nothing about him that is attractive.
Yeah, but see what you just said? See what you just said? You said allegedly. Right there, the doubt has creeped into your mind.
It hasn't creeped in my mind. I don't have a question in my mind if the man did it.
Well, you could get hot and bothered. And
no,
she said, I'm going to jump in.
I watched the man's interview last
night.
Hold on, I want to jump in. The lady said alleged because that is correct in our society to use the word alleged until a man is convicted.
Oh, come on.
It is simply being fair.
Exactly.
I believe this guy is
as guilty as a turd in a punch bowl.
Can we watch the language here?
Forgive me.
I agree. The man is. In my personal opinion, is that he's guilty, and I have never had that doubt from day one.
Thank you, Jan.
You put a heterosexual woman on the jury. Scott Peterson glances at her once, and the next thing, she's up to the. She's all hot and bothered.
To me, you're speaking from your lack of control below your waist.
Thank you, ma'am, for your
call. And that's the only way that you can view it, because that's the only way you see it.
All right,
You are lacking greatly in your judgment of women.
I believe that a woman's body is a sacred trust that a man has, and whatever sex he may request from her should be engaged in with respect, cleanliness, and disease-free. Gentle kisses on the forehead, and after you've completed the act, to apologize to her for inappropriate sounds. This is how to treat a woman, and I keep telling people this, but women have changed. They don't get that. But if they did, they'd like it. No,
I don't know where you get these generalizations, you know, because personally, that's not the way I am at all. And if I were sitting on a jury, as I said, it doesn't matter what he looked like. I would be fair. I wouldn't have any trouble controlling my sexual desire.
All right.
And I bet I speak for a large majority
of the women.
Thank you, Jan. You've got a far off attitude.
Wait a minute.
Thank you very much, Jan. Let's just, I got to keep this moving. 1-800-449-8686.
What I offer a woman is something that the Petersons of the world don't, which is cleanliness and respectful sex. But what does he do? He grabs him by the hair, pretends like he's riding a bucking bronco, and they love it. They love it. And meanwhile, I'm at home on a cot watching television with Mother.
I don't know what to comment about that, and that's not what we're talking about.
I understand that, but I this is what we mean by differences in men.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Gail, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover.
Hi, Phil. I am appalled that this man has this kind of an opinion about women. I'm a woman, I'm a mother, and I can relate to the woman and what she must have gone through. And let me tell you, I don't care what that man looks like, he is going to be convicted. And I mean, I'm a very attractive woman, and I love attractive men, but you know, he's not attractive, he's just evil. He's just plain evil, and I'm a very... I'm just so upset, and all of my, I have many, many friends that have, are so upset by this particular case that I can't even believe this man would even say something like this.
Well, wait, ma'am, all I'm saying is that Scott Peterson, you realize...
Who cares if he's good-looking?
Well,
who cares?
Why is he getting female fan letters and
you know
underwear?
What?
And underwear.
You want to know why?
Women are sending underwear.
All right.
You want to know why?
Yes,
you want to know why?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of sick people out there, males and females. And let me tell you, when you go through a jury and the attorneys ask you a number of questions, those nuts are going to be cleared out and separated from the whole pack anyway. You're not going to have those kind of people on the jury.
Right, you won't know that because a lot of these women are just as psycho as this guy.
Stop
and they can
it.
Bullcrap their way. Look, at this guy bullcrapped his way right into a family thinking he was the greatest thing that came down the pikes and sliced bread and canned beer. Next thing you know, their daughter's floating in the bay with no head. If this guy gets off because somebody like you, Gail, got on the jury and got hot and bothered,
well, can we be less graphic, too? Keep in mind that this is going on. There's a family that could be listening to this show.
Forgive me. Forgive
you
me.
Were, yeah. I think you were the one who was graphic. But anyway.
If, and I'm not saying every woman would. I'm saying if you get in that jury box, Gail, and suddenly you get hot and bothered, are you going to call me up and say, gee, Larry, I'm sorry. I'm running off with Scott Peterson, but I wanted to apologize to you first.
Stop it. He ain't that great, first of all. Second of all, the facts are going to come out. There's going to be no doubt of what he did, and the jury's going to find him guilty. Absolutely. And I've had women, I've cried about this. I am so upset about it. And I tell my husband, if I could, I would shoot him myself. I mean, that's how upset I am. And all the other women I work with feel exactly the same.
A lot of these gals want it from a guy like Peterson to have brutal sex with him, and I suppose they won't be satisfied until he saws their head off and throws them in the bay. I mean, that's what these women today want, and I say it's sick and it has to end. Now you're laughing. And women do that. Women do that with me. They laugh at me.
Well, you're saying stupid stuff. You're saying, hey, they want it from Peterson. They won't be happy until their head gets sawed off.
I would ask both of you to stop laughing.
I'm sorry.
Look at an attractive woman laughing at me. You think that's the first time that's happened? God, listen, she even has a cute little squeak to her voice. Are you a stripper? I don't mean
no,
any... What do you
no,
do?
I'm a PA. I'm a medical professional. I suture people up all day, take care of their colds. And
I bet you are gorgeous.
I'm pretty attractive, but you know what?
Looking, me or Phil Hendry?
Will you shut up?
Well,
thank you,
know,
very Gail. It's all
nobody's
right.
Better than
it's okay.
Phil. So.
All right, thanks a lot. Bye bye.
Gay.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Scott Peterson, the alleged murderer of his wife and unborn child in jail, and now getting fan letters from female fans. Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County is on thinking out loud about, is it wise to have women on the jury? Now, you've heard a lot of women calling and saying you're selling women short. You're not giving women the... you're not giving them the benefit of the doubt. Women, like men, can be objective. They can put their sexuality aside and they can judge.
Phil, I don't know if you saw a few months back while this guy Peterson was running around the country and had everybody hornswoggled, including you, Mr. Hendry, because I listened to some of your broadcasts thinking he was an innocent man. He did a show that maybe you heard of called Good Morning America. And on that program, before millions of Americans, Diane Sawyer interviewed him. She had a smile on her face. She winked. She giggled. She thought he was the most charming guy going. I thought she was sitting in a very provocative manner. I don't think she was sitting in a very ladylike manner.
Well, what do you mean?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean?
I mean she was sitting in a chair and her legs were slightly apart.
You don't know that, man. I saw the very same interview. I don't think I saw a full body shot of her once.
They had a zoom-in shot before the interview piece began and he was sitting there. Now, Diane Sawyer is a very objective journalist, but I will take an oath before God and man, and I am a Christian, that she was sexually attracted to the man. Now, if this is the kind of thing that we have to deal with when that comes to trial, God help us.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So you propose lesbians.
I don't care who they are. I mention women because you may have a constitutional issue. Go over here to the lesbian a company over here. They've got lesbians over there, and you can get them, and you can bus them in, and they could be on the trial.
All right, let me go over here to Heather. Heather, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
I have a real problem with the comments. You know, the game is up, and his whole squeaky clean image has been destroyed. So women on the jury are not going to look at him the same way. You know, we're gonna be a little more skeptical of his charms or whatever. Because, I mean, if I was told that, you know, an attractive man in a bar who might be hitting on me was, you know, abusive or a rapist or whatever, I wouldn't look the same at him. I don't care how good looking he was, how rich, squeaky clean, whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't think it's very fair that you're selling it out. And I do have to say, I don't think I've ever heard a conservative be a proponent for lesbians doing anything. That's just blowing my mind.
I'm simply saying that I think in order to make sure that no women get hot and bothered, we put lesbians on that jury. That way you can fulfill the commitment toward females on the jury and at the same time not have them prejudiced. I'm not saying that all women are going to do this. I'm saying let's just be safe. Number two, look, this guy's getting the fan mail. I didn't send it. You probably didn't send it, Heather, but there are women out there that think he's the hottest thing since canned beer and sliced bread. And I can tell you, ma'am, if Diane Sawyer can be swayed by his charisma, you will be more than swayed by this Don Juan. Were you within the same few meters of him? Now then, I was...
Okay, let the lady talk.
The problem with that comment is, you know, Charles Manson had fans. Ugly people on death row get married. Right, there's just people out there who are just that desperate. It doesn't matter, you know. I mean, that's what they like.
Well, that's the whole point. That I agree with
yeah.
you, Heather. I mean, you got to understand, Larry.
Well, look. I even sent the guy a letter myself, but that's only because at the beginning I thought he was innocent, and I wanted to see if he wanted to go fishing if he got out. But
you sent him a letter.
Yes, I did.
And see, you thought he was innocent. You fell for the squeaky clean. I mean, that's not saying that it's got to be a woman and their sexual desires. What happens about gay men? Are you saying that a gay male may not be?
Are you calling me gay?
No, I'm not. No.
Well, that's the animation.
You're saying...
No, the animation is that I'm gay.
No, nobody's saying that. I said
you know,
She just said, what about gay? I said, then she's... Because if you think I'm a fag, I'm a fag.
What I'm saying is you are against straight women. You want gay women on the jury. But what about gay males? What if they are swayed by his charm because they would be attractive to him?
No, because gay men are intellectual, and for them, they don't even really... Sex is not... For gay men, they just like to hang with each other and go to ball games and things like that. Now, I'm just saying that... I don't have anything against women. I'm just saying that women can't think intellectually. That's all.
And see, I have a hard time agreeing with you there because men... tend to be more of the sexually driven, sexually focused of the species.
Heather, Larry, you might as well have just said, I got nothing against women. I'm just saying they're stupid. That's all.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what you said.
Me?
No, not you. That Larry.
You mean
okay.
me.
That's what my problem is.
What did you say?
You know.
I said.
Well, what did she say? What did you say, Heather?
I'm confused at this point. I'm sorry.
That you called her stupid.
I did not.
No, I didn't say that. But that you said you might as well have said women are stupid.
I've been dating now 4 years, and I know women are very sexually aggressive, and it disgusts me.
Well, see, and that's the other problem I have.
I don't know whether you're single or not, but if I were with you, I would treat you with great respect.
And that's how I demand to be treated. And I am single, and I'm real confused where you're
and
drawing
I would never,
that.
I would, if you and I were intimate, you would never have to remove that much clothing, and we would do things in a painless manner.
Well, I mean, and that's very odd. I'm kind of frightened by those comments, but I do demand respect for me.
I would curl
your
hair behind your ears tenderly and kiss your forehead.
Would you shut up?
It's like he's trying to seduce everybody
freak.
On the phone.
All right, listen, Heather, he's trying to do what?
He's trying to seduce every woman that calls in to go against
him. No, I'm simply saying that I'm a man who I haven't had normal relations with a woman for quite some time.
And that's very sad, and I'm sorry, and I hope that, you know, remedies itself.
Well, if you and I could get together, I'd certainly be willing to give you my phone number, and you could come
out
here.
See, there's a problem. I don't
leave your kids tied to a bedpost.
Shut up.
I take my socks off during sex, Heather. I never.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. That's enough visual there.
Thank you very much, Heather. Thanks for calling. What are you trying to do?
You could watch TV with me and Mother.
1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover, still a twisted perv. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, the voice there of Larry Grover was performed by me, and the people at Caldwell, they think Larry's a real guy, but don't ask me to explain it, all right? 1-800-449-8686. On yesterday's show, we had on Bobby Dooley was with us. She's the president of the Homeowners Association of Westlake, or Western Estates. And she was talking about the fact that it's against the CCNRs, it's against the rules and regulations of her community to put up yellow ribbons, but she was able to put up her own dirty underwear to attract her dog back home. I don't know how this all plays out, but here's a caller who finds her disgusting.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I've been listening to these two mm-hmm. individuals, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley,
mm-hmm.
and I have never heard a mm-hmm. more insensitive lady in my life.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
lady who hangs yellow ribbons
mm-hmm.
is because she's hoping that somehow
mm-hmm.
her son, who's defended this country,
mm-hmm.
who's dying for this country,
mm-hmm.
will be back.
Mm-hmm.
The only one who wants to be a big shot is you, because you said
mm-hmm.
that in order for this lady to hang the yellow ribbons, she should have come to you and make a some sort of request from the association. You already mentioned about 10 times that you're the president of the association. Did you make a request to the association, ma'am? Even if you're the president,
mm-hmm.
you cannot
mm-hmm.
hang anything unless the association, which I'm sure they have the board of directors,
mm-hmm.
approves
mm-hmm.
it. So you can do it.
I agree with Armando.
So you can do it. You can do it, but this lady cannot. On top of that,
well,
the yellow ribbons are pretty because when I see them, I know
mm-hmm.
that there's the life of somebody who's fighting for us
mm-hmm.
and their parents want them to come back. If I see
mm-hmm.
a three pairs of underwear hanging anywhere, any place, and they're put there in order to attract dogs by scent. I imagine that they must be dirty because if they were washed, they wouldn't have any scent.
That's the point.
It's the dirtiest thing in the world to hang your dirty underwear. And it's not a pun, but it's always said, hanging the dirty underwear. That's what you're doing, lady.
You know,
we don't want you in this
terrible.
We don't want you in this country. We
mm-hmm.
don't want you in this country. We don't
mm-hmm.
want you anywhere where our children are dying and you're mucking and saying that they won't. This lady wants to be a big shot. This lady is crying because her son is missing.
All right, Armando, that's a good point. Let's let Ms. Dooley.
First of all, to listen to this gentleman, you'd think that his wife never had to wash any underwear in her life.
She washes it, but she doesn't hang it anywhere for people to see.
If you lost a dog, how else are you going to get it home but by hanging your wife's underwear out? I don't understand.
Put like everybody does, put signs.
Put a sign up that says, yeah, my dog's missing.
Mm-hmm. put ads in the newspaper.
No,
we've done that.
That's the old way of doing it.
We have rules against that in our association. You can't put.
I mean, you have rules against. You have rules against putting ads in the paper. That's
no,
what we did one time. We recovered our dog. We have a bottle of whiskey.
I lost my dog. Do you want me to put an ad in the Miami Herald? Is that it? Lost one dog in California. Do you know where it is in Miami? I don't think so.
Put the sign whenever the dog was lost.
We have rules against it in our homeowners association.
Rules against
wait a minute. Signs in the newspaper? So you can't put up yellow ribbons and you can't put up a sign that says I lost a dog, but you can hang unwashed underwear from trees.
You know, Phil, this is character assassination. We're trying to get our dog back.
But hanging smelly underwear on trees? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is just unbelievable.
I think you're focusing too. The underwear is slightly stained, but it...
Slightly stained with what?
Oh, God. God!
In the front or in the rear?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
What are you asking my wife, sir?
I couldn't care less, but my wife doesn't even stain it. I mean, she does. I'm sure that she doesn't even let me see it, much less hang it outside.
Here's the thing. Dogs are attracted...
We know, by scent. We got all the thing about the... The problem we're having, Ms. Dooley, is that you'll go ahead and hang your underwear, but a lady who wants to hang yellow ribbons for a boy that's MIA, you won't let him do that.
It is against our CCNRs. And
but hanging underwear isn't?
There is nothing in the CCNRs about hanging underwear. You're right, there isn't.
Is there anything against hanging yellow ribbon?
Yes, it's out-of-season decoration.
How about the decoration of dirty underwear?
That's not decoration.
What are decorating? Porno or something?
No, it's not decoration. It's to get a dog back. We lost a dog that we love very much. I lost my son in March.
Do you ever start to think that maybe the dog left because of the smell of the underwear?
Aren't you funny?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
There goes Bobby. It's not in the CCNR, so she hangs her dirty underwear outside. Bobby and Steve Dooley, they're disgusting, and now you can have a little piece of the Dooleys in your own home by logging onto our website, philhenryshow.com, and go over to our souvenir shop and pick up the Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt designed by Bobby Dooley. Or, and I would recommend this for Mother's Day, this is out of sight, the Western Estates Homeowners Association spa robe. It's a beautiful terry cloth robe, 100% terry. And it's got patch pockets, got a whole bunch of cool stuff. Go to the website and check it out. Get it for Mom for Mother's Day. And you can have Bobby, Steve, and the whole disgusting crew in your home, Western Estates. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Okay, here's what I'm talking about. Not that anybody's listening, but here it is. This is exactly what I was trying to say yesterday. Listen to this. A prominent Iranian actress has been given a suspended sentence of 74 lashes for kissing a young film director during an awards ceremony. And the Dixie Chicks think they got it so bad. Do you understand what I'm talking about now? This is an actress. She may be a better actress than anyone working in Hollywood right now. How will we ever know? She's an actress in Iran. They say she's prominent. She's probably very popular in her home country. Now, even though the sentence was suspended, this woman was looking at 74 lashes for kissing a guy on the forehead. And the Dixie Chicks, everybody feels so bad for them. Leave them alone. Quit harassing them. What, are we not allowed to say anything about women that make millions of dollars, that are out in public doing concert dates every week of the year, that have the adulation of millions, that have the admiration of so many, that have carte blanche everywhere they go? They got a million men that want to make love to them. They got a million women that want to be them. And somebody speaks up and says, excuse me, but I don't like your opinion about President Bush. And they're being persecuted. They're being harassed. They're on the cover of Entertainment Weekly as an example of the artistic comment in today's society. An example of American artistic protest, the Dixie Chicks. Everybody's up in arms, and they're like they might as well have them hanging from crosses here. Why don't you nail them to three crosses so they can really get their whole martyr thing out, because they get their little martyr complex going. Meanwhile, across the ocean in Iran, a woman who's an actress in Iran is given a suspended sentence of 74 lashes. Now, if she's given a suspended sentence of 74 lashes and she's a prominent actress in Iran, think of the guy that's doing the Iranian version of Off-Broadway over there. Whatever the guy's like, he's working Equity Waiver, you know, he's doing Tehranville, you know, he's tap dancing someplace in the outskirts. And he happens to do a bad joke about the mullah saying that, you know, maybe he's got a dress underneath, maybe he's wearing panties underneath that gown. And the next thing you know, this guy's tied, he's got his thumbs in a couple of screws in a dungeon someplace. That's what happens in countries like Iran when you're an artist and you say something wrong. But in America, we're so far from that. The artists that we have almost wish it would happen. Tim Robbins wishes it would happen. The Dixie Chicks almost wish it would happen. They wish that they could actually be seen as suffering artists, because they're not. They're a joke. They're funny. They amuse me. When they say they're being censored and they're standing in front of the National Press Club, when they say that they're being abused and censored and they're sitting there in front of Diane Sawyer, when they talk about getting death threats, man, I thought I was going to laugh myself to death yesterday when I heard that. Try doing a talk show. Death threats? You're kidding, right? When they talk about their property being trashed, hey, you're country singers. Why give out your address in the first place? These guys are going to go on. They're going out on tour again, aren't they? Their album is number one. Nobody has given them anything that they can't handle. Every now and again, the world gets to comment on the Dixie Chicks, and it isn't all favorable. Every now and again, after we buy the record and hail them for their great music, we can say, hey, by the way, maybe lose a few pounds, huh? You know, it's not a persecution thing. Nobody's out to get you. I think their lives are going on very well. They can take a little heat. They're woman enough. At least they look like it. Physically, they are. The little middle one, man, she's more than woman enough. She's a woman and a half. I'm joking. No more fat jokes there about Natalie. Because she's actually, you know, she's, it's okay. All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, this just in, the Dixie Chicks got 74 lashes for saying what they said about Bush on the rear end. 1-800-449, oh, I'm sorry, that was a coming home present from their husbands. Anyway, we'll be right back. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, what is it with these guys in Clinton? Why don't they leave it alone, you know? Once upon a time, a big fat guy started a conservative talk show in New York. He was very original, still is. And now everybody wants to be him. Everybody. Every talk show and radio wants to be that guy. Every single solitary last one of them, or they're a reaction to him. They're the liberal host. Yeah, you heard these guys now? Oh, yeah, yeah. Now they're going to get the liberal hosts to go up against the conservative hosts. They got a whole network now they want to do. The liberal hosts will go up against the conservative hosts. And you've got this entire flock of sheep called program directors hiring them all. Because there ain't an original thinker out there, other than the guys that carry my show. And how many of those guys are there? Only about 100. Every freaking day, there's something about Clinton. Clinton this and Clinton that. The guy ain't been president since the year 2000. You guys better get on a new kick and get on it fast, because you're sounding like a broken record. And believe you me, you're looking more transparent as the day goes by. And for some of you, that's quite a call. That's quite an achievement to be transparent when you got about a 50-inch waist. Hillary Clinton this, Bill Clinton that. It's this reason that. Well, you know something? I think you cats consider yourselves and this president to be such failures that you have to go back and blame it on Clinton. Let me tell you guys something, because a lot of you probably love listening to these conservative hosts. You better believe this, because if you don't, you're not too bright. If Bill Clinton had led us to victory in Iraq, if this wasn't Bush, but this was Clinton leading us to victory in Iraq with the same goals and the same outcome, the entire of conservative talk radio would be against it, would be bad-mouthing it, would be calling it stupid and wrong-headed and possibly treasonous, would all of it. That's how phony every last one of them are. I mean, every last one of them. And I know some of them, and I know some of them pretty good, too. Some of them are big fans of mine. I don't want to mention any names, but he's on with another guy, and he's Irish, and he's got a kind of a squeaky high voice, and it's the other guy's name is Combs. And he, you know, I got to tell you something, man. With all due respect, I love you. And he was down in Atlanta with me and wished me well, and I wished him well. You know, you better start getting yourself a show. I don't know what it is you want to do with your life, but you better start getting yourself a show, because that stuff you're shoveling, man, it's getting nastier and nastier. If Bill Clinton had led us to victory in this war in Iraq, then every last one of those conservative schmucks would be on the air, bad-mouthing it, saying it was bad, because they're phonies, because they're hypocrites, because they're rigid and narrow, because they think only they have the right answer, which is absolutely impossible through human history and human experience. One form of thought doesn't always have the right answer. There's more than one way to approach the United States, more than one way to approach the Constitution of the United States of America, and the social ills of this country. And to be flexible enough to deal with any problem is the key to success. To sit there and be an inflexible, self-labeled conservative, you're an ignoramus is what you are. You're just stupid. That's all you are. Because when you fail, and you fail often, the only fallback you got is Clinton. Well, it wouldn't have happened because of Clinton. And Clinton ain't enough. Now you go against his wife. See, they didn't like Clinton's wife even before she was in politics. They didn't like her because she wasn't a typical first lady. She wasn't sitting there like a dumbass with her thumb parked like 90% of those women. Going to a tea, going off to a children's thing, or going off to another tea, and going off to another tea, and smoking some tea. Or going to an astrologer like Nancy Reagan. Having her, the bumps on her head red, or whatever the hell it was that she was doing. Jesus. You want that? That's what they want. That's what they considered a great first lady. Nancy Reagan having the bumps on her noggin red. Look it. I am not a liberal or a conservative, and I ain't no libertarian either. I'm an American, and I call it the way I see it, okay? That's what I get to do on this show. And you guys with that conservative thing are so tired and so old and so boring that, you know what, somebody ought to put you out of your misery. I'm joking. By that I mean, take a nap. Take a hobby up. Visit your mother. Take up squirrel hunting. Anything but that show you're doing. This conservative club cracks me up. They crack me up. They screw up more times than anybody. Just as much as anybody, at least. Their policies have failed left and right. They didn't win any Cold War. That war was won by both sides of the freaking aisle, if that's the way you want to put it. That war was won by a whole lot of people. That war was fought by a whole lot of people. One of them was a guy named Kennedy who backed the Russians down in Cuba. You ever remember that one? No, they don't remember that one because Reagan won the Cold War. Well, guess what? No, he didn't. Conservatives, especially conservative radio, is murdering a medium that I love very much. Murdering it. Murdering it. There's no entertainment value in it. It's all propaganda. The callers are just as phony as anything you want to hear on my show. People knock me because they say, well, he's just making up voices and people call in. They don't know what's going on. What the hell do you think conservative radio is? It's just a guy putting on an attitude and a lot of people call in because they don't know what's going on. And as a result, this medium hasn't expanded. It's gotten more narrow. It's got one guy sitting behind a microphone not doing anything other than reading clippings from a newspaper and taking one stupid call after the next. We haven't gone anywhere. In 40 years of talk radio, we haven't gone anywhere. And with all due respect and all humility, I'm the only guy doing anything halfway creative in this medium anymore. We got guys that come in, sit down, read the paper, whether they're Ollie North or G. Gordon Liddy or any other fascist that's on the radio, call themselves conservative, make fun of Hillary, make fun of Bill, you know, anti-war protesters are unpatriotic, do a couple of Dixie Chick gags, and then they're off to the races. And that cat, that Gordon Liddy, this guy makes... Was that USA Today that did that poll of the top talk radio personalities in America? The guy was like number 20 on the list. He was like number 20 on the list. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe my eyes. How did he make it? First of all, he's reading stuff on the air that he thinks is real. It's bits from my show. That's number one. That's how dumb he is. Number two, he doesn't do any work. I can listen to that show. I know he doesn't do any work. He does none. He sits and reads the paper, comes in, picks up the paper, and reads clippings out of it. Says, well, this happened, that happened, and something else happened. Like, the whole point of this, guys, is not to knock any individual person, although, if anybody needs it, it's an amateur like that guy. This is strictly amateur night. I gave 30 years of my life to this business, and we got amateurs crawling all over it right now. They used to be a cop, or they used to be a colonel, or they used to be a this or a that, and they're on the radio now. And why? Well, they're conservatives, and that's what everybody wants. And you got these spineless program directors who haven't, these guys haven't had an original thought ever. Not ever. The only original thought they ever had was maybe they'll pick the pink-foiled Hershey Kiss instead of the silver-foiled one. Just for a change of pace. And they'll put any of that crap on the air that, you know, because it's conservative, because it wins. Because it's, you know, you want to know something? If it's winning now, it ain't going to be winning for long. Ain't going to be winning for long. And then we got to get up in the morning and we got to hear about Clinton again. Look, even I forgot about Clinton. I voted for the guy twice, proudly, proudly. And I'll do it again. But he's gone. He's gone. He screwed up. He took his knocks for it. The country did not want to impeach him. Sorry. That's the way it goes. I guess you guys will have to go off and find somebody else to kick around. Maybe, where's Dick Nixon? Oh, you mean he's dead? And that's the end of that. But to keep on with this Clinton this and Clinton that, you know what that is? It's just a basic lack of original thought. And on TV, I'm just watching this other guy with the Irish last name, with the big forehead. Who, that guy, you talk about not an original thought, oh my God. His idea of a big major controversy is the music of Eminem. Okay, well, you know what, I guess all of Eminem's listeners just ain't going to watch your show anymore. When you lock yourself into a descriptive label like I am a conservative, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead because you can't do anything other than what the conservative manual tells you to do. You got to check in with the conservative mother, father, computer every day and make sure that you do all the conservative things. Because if you don't do all the conservative things, you may be that worst of all things, that horrible thing, a liberal. And if you're a liberal, well, you're just wrong. You're wrong. Well, let me tell you about conservatives and liberals. They both like big government. They're both in love with big government. They're both addicted to big government. Just one likes one kind of big government, the other one likes the other kind. And that's the end of that. And if I got to hear this Clinton one more time about this and Clinton that, I'm going to scream, man. I swear to God, it's going to be road rage. And how do you like the Entertainment Weekly got the Dixie Chicks nude and Playboy could have had that idea because Bud gave it to him?
That's right.
Hefter, you idiot. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, I got something else I want to say. And this is about something that I wished would go away. I really wished it would go away, but it doesn't. It doesn't go away, it just sticks around. And that's this Confederate flag bullcrap. In Georgia, Let me explain something to you, and then we won't have to talk about this ever again. There's millions of people who come from the South whose families go back hundreds of years in the South, whose families first came to the South in the 17th, 16th century in some cases, who are every bit as Southern as a whole lot of people would like to pipe how Southern they are. And they don't like that Confederate flag. They think it is a symbol not unlike the swastika to Jews. They're Southerners. They don't like the Confederate flag. Do you get it? They come from the South. And if you ask them about Southern culture, well, in their opinion, Southern culture doesn't include the Confederate flag. And for anybody in the South to want a Confederate flag anywhere in the South is to spit right into the faces of the millions of African Americans that live in the South. And I don't care what line of baloney you want to bring up. I've heard it all from the sons of the Confederacy saying that there were blacks that served in the Confederate Army. Yeah, and you know what? There were POWs that built bridges for the Japanese. Well, what choice did they have? You know, that was either that or sit in their cell. So don't even bring that one up. I don't care how many dumb, stupid white people down South think that the Confederate flag is a symbol of something. To millions and millions of fellow Southerners whose families go back even further than some of the white people who live there, they don't like that flag. They've never liked it. It looks like a swastika, and they want it off of the freaking flagpoles in that part of the country. And if you don't, then you can have it if you want to, but if you don't, you're spitting in their face, and you're admitting. You're basically admitting that their feelings don't matter for anything. And in so admitting that, you are tacitly racist. So you can take that, suck on that if you want, but that's it. All right, here is Adam on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about what you were talking about in your last segment there, the conservative talk show host.
Yeah.
Now, my question for you is that I've listened to your show for probably the last 6 months, a year now, and what I notice on your show is you do your original bits. By the way, I love those bits. Those are great. But the question I have is you always spend like an hour on your show talking about the same types of things you hear on the conservative radio. So what do you see as the difference there?
So in other words, besides the besides that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
Phil, so in other words, besides all the original bits you do that's original?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying,
well, what
like,
are you saying then? I mean, you're asking me about my show, right?
Well, what I'm asking you is your contention with the fact that they don't have anything original on your show, on their show.
No, they don't. Nothing.
Okay, now, is that your contention, or is it the topics that they discuss and the views
my contention, perform? My contention is both. My contention is that conservative hosts are not good broadcasters, number one. And number two, what they talk about is utterly predictable.
So how would you compare the conservative talk show host with something like NPR?
NPR is garbage. It's just garbage in and garbage out. NPR, they have more people working there. They got about 3 people listening to it and about 8 million people working there.
So it's
not even real broadcasting because it's commercial free broadcasting because there's no pressure there.
Right. So the part I can agree with what you're saying is the fact that there's no original bits on their show. It's just reading news clippings like you were saying, and a matter of just following a party line instead of having some original thought to it. And, you know, if there's a topic that comes up that they disagree with, regardless of the party line, they don't disagree with it, they just fall in line.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. I mean, that's not a human being thinking there. That's an automatron. That's somebody who's just whips out the conservative manual and says, oops, better say this and I better say that.
Yeah, what's current events and let me look up my response.
Exactly. Like, for instance, no matter how let's take, for example, this guy. What's the guy's name? Santorum?
Yeah,
in Pennsylvania. These guys will fall all over themselves rather than just say, look, the guy has got to get with it. We are living in the year 2003. There are gay Republicans. We have homosexual Republicans. One of the founding fathers of conservative thought, by the way, was a gay man. You know, so let's be honest and say that these are unacceptable comments, especially coming from a Republican. These guys are supposedly representing the true individualist thought, but they don't do that. They'll go back to Clinton. It was Clinton's fault, man, that this guy's a gay basher.
Well, let me ask you about that Santorum bit. The bit that I heard, as far as what at least claimed, and I can't confirm, it was claimed to be read from the transcripts of what was said. What was going on with that is they were having, the topic of discussion was whether they should drop sodomy from the books. And his comment and their contention on it was it's two consenting adults in the privacy of their own home. So how can we, you know, how can we make laws against what two consenting adults do in their own home? And what Santorum's comments were referencing was you could say the same thing about polygamy, bigamy, incest, and
homosexuality.
And homosexuality.
Right. Why didn't he throw heterosexuality in there?
Because there's no laws on the books forbidding heterosexuality right now. So his contention was if you want to throw out homosexuality, you want to throw out sodomy because, you know, it's a law in the books right now, and you want to throw it out, well, you know, that's fine. Let's take a look at what else we would have to throw out under the same guise that it's two consenting adults doing something in their own home.
Well, you can spin it the way you want to spin it. This is a guy who admitted the next day that he doesn't like the homosexual act, and then he went on to say, but I got nothing against homosexuals, whatever that means.
Right,
so,
now I agree with you.
You know, the guy is a homophobe, whether he meant this or that in what he was saying. I mean, the guy might have been bringing these things up as an example. I noticed that he brought up incest and homosexuality in the same sentence, but not incest and heterosexuality. I think there's reasons people communicate that way. And I think one of the reasons that they communicate that way is they're, whether they like to or not, sending a clearly homophobic message. I got to run, dude. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
So a woman was shot in the face in New York. She's an actress by the name of Lyric Benson. She was shot in the face by her ex-boyfriend. Why? Because she broke up with him. She was an actress. I say she was. I think she's still alive, but only barely. He also then turned the gun on himself, which was probably the only thing that he did right that day. Robert Ambrosini was his name, and he shot himself and killed himself, which saved the taxpayers of New York a lot of money, but in the process, he also shot Lyric Benson, a girlfriend who wasn't comfortable with their relationship any longer and made the horrible mistake of breaking up with the guy. And, you know, these stories happen all the time. Let me tell you what you do if you're a woman and you're getting stalked by a boyfriend. Besides the fact that there are anti-stalking laws, tell as many people as you can about what's going on. If you have male friends, tell as many of them as you can. Tell as many of your friends as you possibly can. Tell the police. And while you think you're going to be pissing him off, what you're also going to be doing is you're going to be shining a white-hot spotlight on a cockroach, and they don't like the light. They seek the dark. You can't do that fight by yourself. You got to do it with friends. And you got to let as many people know as possible that this guy is following you, harassing you, and making your life uncomfortable. Many, 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 many people. And that scumbag, believe me, is going to try to find a dark place to hide. Anyway, that's Phil's advice for the Lovelorn here on Friday, April 900th. 100, it's 100 degrees outside. No, it's 1-800-449-8686 here at the Phil Henry Show. So that's the story with that gal. And then we have baseball's greatest fights. Okay, here's Al. Hello, Al. Yeah.
Good. How are you? It's a long-time listener.
Hi.
Every night.
Who?
I said, I'm a long-time listener of yours every night.
Oh, cool, thanks.
Hey, just want to make, I'm southern-born native. My roots go back to the 1600s here in North and South Carolina.
But yeah, yeah, good for you.
I just want to let you know where I'm coming from.
Right,
but
right.
About the flag, and it is not an issue of racism.
Oh, come on. Will you stop it already, man? You got how many millions of black southerners who say it is?
Well, that's just
are they
opinion,
stupid? Are they stupid? Are they stupid?
No, I just said that's not what
do you know
it's
what
about.
Lincoln ran on?
What?
Do you know what issue Lincoln got nominated to be president on?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Abolition of slavery, my man.
Look up.
Abolition of slavery, all right? That war was every bit as much about slavery as anything else. You guys have got to stow that. Now, you've got fellow African-American Southerners who find that flag offensive. White Southerners are spitting in their face.
Well, I'm sorry what other people do. But
I know. But you guys can't hide behind that Southern tradition bullcrap any longer. It's racist. It insults your fellow citizens. It is a hateful sign to them, the same way that a swastika is. And the sooner that white people in the South and anybody else gets the message on that, you can move forward. Otherwise, all you're doing is telling millions of black Southerners whose families go back to the 1600s, too, and maybe even further, that you don't care what they think. And that they're wrong.
We have a right to freedom of expression.
Freedom of expression? What is your freedom of expression doing hanging on the Capitol building?
Hey, I didn't put it there. And that was
what is your freedom of expression doing hanging on an official building in the South?
That's part of the government of the state. That's not
okay. It doesn't belong there. There are other citizens that find that thing to be a swastika.
Well, then ask them to go putting it down. They brought it off the top of the Capitol building already. But
ask them to go bring it down?
I want to point out some things. You were talking about Lincoln.
Get out of here, you bore me. I don't want to get into... Sorry, I'm losing my temper here. I can't... You know what? I didn't want to talk about that any longer. I'm so sick to death of it. I spent a year in Atlanta, Georgia, listening to that garbage. Now, I'm sure he's a nice guy, and he wants to point out things about Lincoln. Look, I'm gonna say this, and then I'm going to move on. I've read about it. I know my history. I don't need anybody calling in and setting me straight. That war was about slavery as much as anything else, and Lincoln made it clear. Now, if he was a politician and he played both sides against the middle, that's what politicians do. George Bush, Bill Clinton, and all of them. But Lincoln made it clear it was about slavery for him, as well as other issues, preserving the Union, etc. And that's where that's at. And the Southern Congress, or whatever the hell kind of stupid-ass organization they had going on down there during the Confederacy, were still debating whether blacks ought to have their freedom well into the Civil War. That flag is a swastika in the eyes of African-Americans in the South, and the white Southerners who insist on it being waved are racists. And that includes the Sons of the Confederacy and every other phony baloney organization that tries to hide behind Southern tradition as an argument for keeping a racist, fascist flag flying. Now, you can put it on your truck. You can give that old rebel yell and drive down the street hooting and hollering. You can have it on your belt. You can do whatever the hell you want to do. You're hanging it on a Capitol building or public property or as a representation of the people's government. It is a symbol, then, therefore, of the racism of that government and the imbeciles that support it. So keep that in mind. And when you want to go sell that Southern tradition thing, go talk to a bunch of other white people, because the black folks don't buy it. And like I said, their families go back just as long, if not longer, than any white man I ever met down there. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Last night I got home and I saw my sons, all three of them, sitting and playing Xbox. And they play a game called Halo that they like. And it's a very interesting game. And I noticed that they had made brownies because their mother is away with my wife and my daughter are at the beach, just kind of spending some daughter and mother time. And that's cool. And so it's me and the guys. And I noticed they'd made brownies. And the kitchen was sort of, you know, it had pots and pans and stuff in the sink. So I said, when you guys, you know, I need you guys to clean the kitchen up before you go to bed tonight. And I went to my office and did some very, very hard, hard work, Madden 2003. And I then came back and I saw they'd gone to bed and the kitchen was still a mess. Now, for 4 days since Maria and Catherine have been gone, these guys haven't picked up a dish. They haven't cleaned up anything. So I said, that's it. I got to send a message that it's about more than them. Life is about more than them. Isn't that the message you send to kids, the big one? This world is bigger than just you. And that's when kids really start to bump up against life and they have a hard time with it because they recognize that, you know, the other people have feelings and other people need, you know, you live in a large sort of cyclotron. What you put out comes back. So it's not all instant gratification. And some kids get into it easier than others. Some people evolve into it easier than others. Some people never become adults. You know, they're 55, 60, and they're still children. So I said, you guys got to clean up the kitchen. I come in, it wasn't cleaned up. So I took the Xbox, the N64, the GameCube, and the PlayStation. I took all four of them away from them for the weekend. And I told them why. And they just sort of shrugged and went to school. And it was at that instant that I asked myself, why don't I have the courage that my other friend had and take all four of those and throw them into the pool? Why don't I have that kind of courage? I don't know. Because that's what I really, really want to do. And my buddy did it, and we laugh about it at parties. He took his son's Nintendo 64 because he was so pissed off at what was going on in the house. He picked it up, and he chucked it into a pool. And everybody laughs about that. You want to know why I don't do it? I'll tell you why. Simply this. If I do it, I'm nuts. If he does it, it's funny. See, there's some guys can do that, and it's funny, and there's other guys do it, and they're nuts. Me, I'm nuts. I'm already living on the edge. I'm already thinking and acting on the edge. I don't need to get out any more on the edge. I take those Nintendo games, and I chuck them into the pool, and the next thing you know, somebody's calling a wagon, and it's got soft room written all over it, and they got one reserved specially for me. So anyway, I said, no more Nintendo, you know. I mean, you know, there comes a time. Doesn't there come a time? Easter was last Sunday, so there's Hershey foil laying all over the floor, and there's brownie stuff on paper plates all over the house, and it looks like somebody just squirted one out onto a plate and threw it somewhere, and then there's the rabbits. Maria decorates the house with little bunnies. These guys take the bunnies and throw them into walls and stuff and kick them. And, you know, they wrestle with them. And there's a sofa that we bought that's got, like, feather pillows. And that looks like crap. And, you know, coming into the kitchen, gum stuck on. I finally said, I got to take control of the situation. I have got to make a statement. And so I said, no Nintendo. That's it. And can you imagine that's a major deprivation for today's youth? Huge. Huge. It's like not being able to smoke any pot for 3 days. If you like smoking pot. Because it's the exact same part of the brain that's getting deprived. It's the exact same part of the brain that is getting something taken away from it. That part of the brain that responds to marijuana responds to video games. And some would argue that video games are healthier because they're not a drug. Oh, really? Why? Well, think about it, Phil. It's not a drug. Well, what do you mean it's not a drug? It hits the brain. It manipulates biochemistry in the brain. The brain gets too much of something and not enough of something else. Why isn't it just like a drug? The only thing that I can see that makes marijuana worse is that it pollutes the lungs as well as introducing a stimulus to certain biochemistry. It takes up space in the blood that is otherwise taken up by oxygen. But beyond that, it's going to the same place in the brain. Video games are just like smack. Thank you. All right, Juan Marichal versus John Roseborough, Dodgers versus Giants, August 22nd, 1965. It was the summer before my eighth grade year. What was that? It was one of baseball's great fights. And ESPN has produced a list of baseball's greatest fights, some of which I'm pretty sure I saw. But the Juan Marichal-John Roseborough fight is ranked number one of the great fights in baseball history. Number one, Juan Marichal was a pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. Johnny Roseborough was a catcher for the L.A. Dodgers. It was August 22nd, 1965. No love was lost between the Giants and the Dodgers during this very heated pennant race. It was 1965, and Marichal was facing Sandy Koufax at Candlestick Park, San Francisco. He knocked down Maury Wills and Ron Fairley with brushback pitches before he came to the plate in the third inning. Now, Roseborough said to Koufax, "Look, he's knocked down two of our players. I want you to brush him back." Johnny Roseborough said this to Koufax. Koufax never threw at anybody. He said, "No, I'm not going to do it, John." He said, "Okay, what I'm going to do is, when I throw the ball back to you, I'm going to zip it right by his chin." Okay? "When Marichal came up to bat, according to John Roseborough, I had a knockdown from behind the plate, throwing the ball close to his nose when I returned it to the pitcher. I expected Marichal to attack me in some way. If he had said anything to me, I studied karate, and I was ready to annihilate him." Well, karate didn't help. When another of Roseborough's throws came too close to Marichal's ear, Marichal clubbed Roseborough on the head with his bat, opening up a 2-inch gash that would require 14 stitches and starting a bench-clearing brawl that lasted 14 minutes. Marichal was handed an 8-game suspension and fined $1,750, which in those days was a huge sum. Well, as such is the case so often, Marichal and Roseborough became very good friends years later. Roseborough and others believed that Marichal wasn't getting elected to the Hall of Fame because of that incident. "There were no hard feelings on my part, and I thought it was made public, and I thought if it was made public, people would believe that this was really over," said Johnny Roseborough. "So I saw him at Dodger Old Timers games, and we posed for pictures together, and I actually visited him in the Dominican Republic. The next year, he was in the Hall of Fame. Hey, over the years, you learn to forget things." So that was a very interesting, and a side note to that story is that Willie Mays was in the on-deck circle at the time, and Mays came over, and he thought that Marichal had knocked Roseborough's eye out of his head because there was blood. All you could see was just blood down the one side of John Roseborough's face, and Willie Mays was crying, and he said, "John, just lay there. He's knocked your eye out of your head." Willie Mays was crying, the poor guy. It was insane. It was insane. That's what you get for letting these Dominicans in baseball. I'm kidding around. Here's another funny fight. Janice and I were laughing about this one. This fight took place in 1932 between an umpire and the Chicago White Sox. Now listen to this. After the Chicago, this was on May 30th, 1932, the umpire was George Moriarty and the team is the Chicago White Sox. After the White Sox lost both ends of a doubleheader to the Indians in Cleveland, some of the Chicago players accused George Moriarty of deliberately making bad calls against them. Moriarty, who'd once played for the White Sox, challenged the players to a fight, and pitcher Mike Gaston accepted. Moriarty, the umpire, knocked Gaston down with one punch and broke his fist in the process. At that point, White Sox manager Lou Fonseca and catcher Charlie Berry and Frank Grubb jumped the ump and thrashed him good, bloodying his mouth. Fellow umpire Bill Dineen did try to help Moriarty, but George still had some brawl left in him. "You stay out of this, Bill," he said. "This is my fight." Then he got up and he said, "Now who else is here? Is..." I screwed it up. "Now, who else is there who thinks I'm yellow?" Guy's got the crap beat out of him. He's laying on the ground. "All right, who else thinks I'm yellow?" Here's a story I heard. and this has got to be bull crap, but I'll tell it as quickly as I can. I'm pretty sure it's true, though. Ty Cobb was a noted great baseball player. He's also not well thought of by old-timers. They didn't like Ty Cobb. They said he was a nasty, nasty bastard. Well, there was a ball game between the Tigers, which was Ty Cobb's team, and another ball club, in which Cobb slid into home and was called out. Now, he vehemently argued with the umpire that he was safe. He really felt that he was safe, but it was no good. He was out. Now, 30 years later, Cobb is at a dinner with the catcher from that team. And the catcher says to Ty Cobb, you know what, you're right, you did, you slid in under the tag, you were safe. And Cobb decks him 30 years later. This is the kind of guy he was, whatever kind of a guy that was. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.